Canto 7. The Pope pops Satan. Satan pips the Pope. Plutus barked raucous nonsense, while my guide, who knew all things, to give me back my hope, said, Don't let fear of him turn you aside. Whatever power he has will never stretch to stopping your descent to the next stage. And turning to the fat lips of the wretch, Wolf, shut your mouth, he said. Swallow your rage and let it eat your guts. He goes with cause into the depths, for it is willed on high where Michael the Archangel planned the wars against the rebels. As when all winds die and sails once swollen flap and fall in folds, just so the beast lay flat. We left it so, and down to Circle 4, and what it holds for its share of the universe of woe contained in the immeasurable pit, we went. Merciful God, who gets it in, this wretched harvest? What accounts for it? And why to such pain are we led by sin? For just as waves above the clashing jaws of Scylla and Charybdis rush to fight each other, so these shades danced without pause, more of them that had so far met my sight. From either side, damned souls let out a shout and roll weights with their chests until they crash together, whereupon they turn about and shriek, Why pile it up? And why waste cash? And work in a half circle to the point oppressed, still giving out their spiteful yell, and turn to joust again. Heart out of joint, I said, My master, who are these, pray tell? And were these tonsured ones here to the left once clerics? He to me. Yes, all of them in their first life were so of sense bereft. They spent like wastrels, and thus they condemn their madness, barking every time they find themselves returned to either of the two opposing points at which their faults of mind divide them. One and all were clerics who, heads sticking through their hair, were ruled by greed. There are popes here, and cardinals, and I, my guide, should I not then in such a breed see faces that I can identify, famous for sins of avarice and waste? My master answered thus, That thought is vain. In life for their dim sight they were disgraced. Here they are dimly seen and must remain forever split in two charging teams. Those money-grubbing ones who from the grave arise with grasping fists and foolproof schemes, and these with hair close-cropped to show they gave, as those took, a two-sided robbery that stole the world from both and set them here in this unprepossessing scrum that we lack words to dignify. You see it clear, my son. The squalid fraud as brief as life of goods consigned to fortune, whereupon cool heads come to the boil, hands to the knife. For all the gold there is, and all that's gone, would give no shred of peace to even one of these drained souls. Master, I said, finish the lesson you have just begun. Tell me who Fortune is. How has she spread her arms to seize the world's wealth? A sharp glance. Half-witted mortals, how is it you know so little even of the ignorance that starves you? That you not continue so, now feed on news of how I estimate the understanding that transcends all things and made the heavens and gave each heavenly state the luminous intelligence that brings light from each part to every other part in perfect measure. Just so on the earth, Fortune, his minister with timely art, endlessly portions out for what they're worth the riches of the world from man to man and race to race, and none can even guess, because no human sense can know her plan, why one has power, another powerlessness, according to her judgment where she lies unseen, just as the grass conceals the snake. Your mortal judgment shrivels up and dies, compared with hers perpetually awake, providing, weighing, balancing. She rules her realm the way the lofty ones rule theirs, unceasing alterations make her tools invisible, so quickly her affairs must be arranged and rearranged. She, then, who is so often cursed by those who should praise her, thinking themselves forsaken men, although by breaking them she brought them good, she, then, although she hears no human word of her true value, happy like the rest of those first creatures who have always heard their praises sung, nevertheless is blessed, the world her wheel. And so much for your doubt. For now we must descend to deeper grief. As all the stars that rose when I set out to meet you start to fall. Even a brief pause in our course is not permitted. Move. We cut across the circle to a ledge above a fountain spurting in its groove and spilling back, swamping the precinct's edge with water more a turgid gray than black. And we, in company with that grim flood, picked our way down an ankle-turning track into the place beneath, where sliding mud, spread thickly from the foot of those dark slopes, became the sad, slow river called the Styx. While I stood doing nothing except look, I thought at first my eyes were playing tricks, as these slime-covered naked people shook with anger. Not with sticky hands alone they hit each other, but with heads, chests, feet, and teeth they bit each other to the bone, and my great guide to me. Son, here you meet the souls of those who gave way to their rage. But know, too, there are those who lurk below the surface. From the bubbles you can gauge their number, who could let no anger flow, or any feeling else. Stuck in the mud, they croak. In that sweet world the sun made glad, our hearts were stopped with a slow, smoking flood. In these dank depths we work at being sad. This is the chorus their clogged throats emit, the best that they can do. Thus we traversed a great arc of that filthy festering pit, walking between the dry bank and the cursed wet edge that sighs to suck you into it. Always our eyes on those lost to its power, until we faced the foot of a tall tower.